When you shop online, don't make dumb mistakes like a newbie in a house full of veterans. Go ahead and do your shopping on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob as a podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who is not the messiah of podcasting. I am Rob Cicerino, here to talk about a very intriguing night two of the Big Brother 2016 season premiere. Very excited to get into that. Glenn could not get to the dumpster in time. Glenn is gone. Nicole is HOH. Nominations are bad. Bad nominations. A fumble from Frenzel. To start off, Big Brother 18, very excited to talk about it all here with our panel. First, let's welcome the host of reality TV, Happy Hour, and a man who knows a thing or two about some intriguing moves concerning the block. Here is the great Jordan Parhar. Jordan, how are you?
Rob, I'm doing great. I'll be honest with you. I say I'm doing great every time. Today, not so much. You know, I'm running on 3 hours of sleep. I'm a little hungover. I'm very tired, but you know, I'm the loyalist correspondent ever. Yes. Man. So I'm here tonight, and I cannot wait to talk about
the
this
loyalist
episode.
Correspondent that we have, of course, maybe second to this man who said that Cody did not make one of the 8 worst moves in the history of Big Brother. Tonight, we will find out whether Taryn thinks that maybe his brother might have made one. Here is Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm fantastic. You know, Jordan may or may not be the most loyal correspondent, but I am definitely the strongest in the brain. Yes. Correspondent. So
okay, you
I got
that going
for me.
So, of course, a very busy night here tonight, Thursday night, June 23rd. If you're joining us live, we just finished watching the episode. And if you are listening to this in the archives, you know that the Big Brother live feeds have kicked off, that they are coming 1 a.m. Eastern time, 10 p.m. Pacific. People are on pins and needles waiting for the live feeds to come on to see where things have progressed from tonight's episode to where they currently are. And of course, you can get in on those Big Brother live feeds with a subscription. Go to robasawebsite.com/live feeds if you want to purchase live feeds for Big Brother 18. Of course, we will also bring you an update, whether you are following the feeds or not, or if you just want to hear about what's been going on. I will be having a show tomorrow with Taryn, with Alex Kidwell, where we will have an update from overnight, catching you guys up on everything that's happened on the live feed since the end of Thursday. And also, we will have some exit interview questions from Glenn, not with Glenn, from Glenn, because we have email questions only with the people evicted from the Big Brother house. And certainly we can speculate what the meaning of that is as well. And of course, last night we talked about we were playing on PickPete.com drafting fantasy teams. My PickPete team's out the window. I'm making all new picks tonight. I've got an all new top four. I want to get Jordan and Taryn's picks at the end of the show to play Fantasy Big Brother at PickPete.com. All right, so let's jump in to this. I feel like that Glenn, whatever, I was pulling for him. Photo finish. I really wanted him to stay over Corey. Didn't go his way. Sad to see him go, but I feel like that is not what I'm fired up to talk about tonight, because I think that here is Nicole, who had this all laid out on a silver platter for her, because it was really starting to feel like Big Brother 13 up in this piece, where the newbies were falling all over themselves, committing unforced error after unforced error, just giving the game on a silver platter to the vets. But I think this was a major fumble here by Nicole to go ahead and put Paulie up on the block with Jose. What do you think of that, Jordan?
It's a horrific blunder. I mean, I got some heat on Twitter because I said, why would you not put up Victor? Because he just came up to her and said, I'm going to come after you. And people were like, well, no, Victor's safe. Kind of forgot about that. But still, I mean, there are so many options. Paul is one. I mean, he's a guy that it was not immune. I think maybe this was a situation like last night. I think, Nicole might be regretting, she should have been like Davon. It should have been, Davon should have said nothing. She should have taken Polly. And then instead, Nicole tonight, when she nominated Polly, should have been like, actually, no, I meant you, Paul, because clearly he's going to go after the vets. Polly's on their side. Why risk that so early, yeah, early on?
That's our question for Nicole.
Why?
Why?
Because if Polly does not win this veto and he's sitting on the block next to Jose, the newbies can easily flip this thing and send him out the door. And then the vets are going to be looking at themselves like with their jaws to the floor. And it's just going to look so terrible. So I could not believe that she did this move. I just awful.
Taryn, so we have this idea of it's newbies versus vets. Newbies versus vets. All of the newbies seemingly are on the same page, maybe save for Corey and the siblings. And so you have everybody talking newbie versus the vet. Why on earth would she do this?
Well, Nicole, she's a big fan of the show, but I don't think she watches Big Brother Canada, and can't always blame her for that, right? But she definitely should have, because this is exactly what we saw with Levita last season in Big Brother Canada, where she nominates her target and then an ally of hers as a pawn in order to not piss anybody off. The problem is, if you're nominating an ally as your pawn, if the house flips against you, then they're going to vote out your ally and your enemy is still going to be there and you're in a way worse position than you started. And that's unfortunately the situation she's put herself in. Obviously, she feels very confident about her numbers going into this week. She thinks that she can guarantee the votes, but that's never a guarantee, especially in the first week. She should know this. She's a veteran. She has no excuse.
Yeah, this is really, really bad. Now, could we just do a vote count just to talk about this? Now, again, maybe that people have said to me on Twitter, well, maybe we don't know the whole story yet, but you have a week now where people are going to be able to do this sort of politicking. And one, I want to talk about the bad move from Nicole. And two, let's talk about the brutal move for Paulie to go up on the block here. So let's just go through our vote count for the week. 13 people will vote 1 week from tonight. Nicole is the HOH. She can't vote. If the nominees stay the same, Paulie and Jose will not get a vote. So let's just real quick, Davon, James, and Frank, they will all vote for Paulie to stay, Jose to be evicted. So three votes right off the bat, Jose to be evicted. Corey, you have to think, is going to be aligned with Nicole. He will vote to evict Jose. And let's throw Tiffany in there as well. She's a sibling. She's in the same spot. It's not in her best interest for a sibling to go home. Now, we still have 8 people left with votes this week. Even if you gave one of them over, it's going to take 7 votes to evict. And it feels like that this is a very bad spot, Taryn.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation. I think that the only way this makes sense, and we should say that we don't have the feeds here. So we don't really know what's happening. Even these terrible moves by some of these players, they could not be as bad as they're presented. However, the only way this makes any sense is if she actually doesn't think that Polly is an ally. If she thinks that Polly, if she doesn't think she can trust Polly, she thinks that Polly is with the other new players. That's where it might make sense, but that's not what they presented. So it's way too much of a risk, even if the votes are somewhat close.
Quickly to interrupt, sorry, Rob, there are, you only need 6 votes this week. There are 12 people voting. People in the chat are losing their minds.
Sorry about that. I forgot that poor Glenn. Poor Glenn, yes. Is gone. Okay.
Yes.
So 6, and then Nicole will break the tie if it comes down
So technically, based on what you just laid out, we've got the 3 returnees, one sibling and Corey. So that's 5. You swing one, you got 6, and then you break the tie for Nicole there.
So the people voting, we have Davon, James, and Frank, Corey, and Tiffany. We assume they will all vote to evict Jose. But out of the possibilities here, we have Victor, who you would think is going to vote to keep his friend Jose. You have Natalie, who certainly you would think that her vote is up for grabs. Bronte, Zakiya, you would think that she's going to keep him, certainly. Paul, you would think that he is certainly going to keep Jose. And then you have Michelle and Bronte. Here's what I think. I think that the returning players are overestimating, perhaps, and maybe they're not. Maybe they have exactly a beat on this, of how much influence they have over their team. And I wonder that you had where Frank came out of Big Brother 14 with the coaches, where the newbies in that season really looked to their coaches about, hey, what should I do here? Sort of, what do we want to do here? And you think that probably the newbies are probably huddling up with their coaches or with their returning player partner. And maybe you have a situation where the returning players are feeling like, okay, I got my people. I'll get my group in line. And they'll do whatever I tell them to. And I just wonder, how strong is the resistance in the house, Taryn?
You never know. And even, I don't think that you can count these siblings as guaranteed votes. Tiffany, at the very least. I think that Tiffany has shown that she has ties with Michelle, potentially. If Michelle is anti-vet, then maybe Tiffany goes anti-vet. Just because she had a conversation with Day doesn't mean that she wants to work with Day, Frank, James, Nicole, and all of them.
Yeah.
So it's very dangerous to do this. Even if she does get the votes, even if she does succeed and Polly stays, Polly's not going to feel very good about this alliance. He's already being used as a pawn. Maybe he flips the next week because he's not.
No, he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
But like, why even piss him off and do that? Like, that's what I mean. Like, why even put that like seed of doubt in his mind? It's completely unnecessary.
He's not going to go against the vets. That if he stays,
but still, like, why not try to reinforce that now? It's early on in the game. You're going to war. You need this guy 100% on board. I don't understand why you would. It's just unnecessary, Ron.
And what connection does Polly have with these veteran alliances? Like, he clearly. There's clearly nobody that he's close to in this group of people. So why not just go with the other group? Because they're already putting him up.
Hold on. Is it possible that Nicole still has bad blood towards Cody and is trying to screw over his brother this season? Is that possible, Taryn?
It certainly seems possible. I was tweeting like, it's so ridiculous. The one person in the entire world, other than maybe Hayden, that would see Cody as a not loyal player is Nicole, because she's one of the few people that he was able to actually like explicitly screw over in the game and not be super loyal to.
It just was so easy that you have the returning players, you have the siblings who are trying to work with them. You have a guy in Corey who wants to work with Nicole. It was so easy and so straightforward. And then you just go ahead and give the newbies an opportunity. Why put somebody who is working with you? And maybe it's sort of a show to say, see, we're not working with the siblings. We put them up on the block. But you have that. We see that Paulie is huddled up in the room with the vets. And if you have a guy like Paul, I mean, you really are giving him all the opportunity that he needs to say, hey, look, this is our chance. This is our line in the sand, because for these newbies, I do believe that there is a newbie paradox here, because in Big Brother or Survivor, we have these returning player seasons. It's if we don't get the vets out early, they are going to run this game. But if you are the person who's outspoken about getting the veterans out, you are the person who that target is going to come to you. So it is a very difficult situation that these newbies find themselves in, but Nicole has given them the perfect opportunity to strike first blood in this game, Jordan.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity, and I'm excited for this week.
Oh, I'm so pumped up.
It's going to be great. I mean, we talked about it when we did that podcast on why Survivor fans should watch Big Brother. The first few weeks of Big Brother are always amazing. And now that we've got this possibility of a blindsider, this plan to blow up in the veterans' face right off the get-go, it's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And it seems like all of the vets are in on it. It was Frank was the one who said to Paulie, like, hey, could you take one for the team? And Paulie's like, yeah. I guess so. I mean, why is it worth it, Jordan? Why would somebody risk their life in the Big Brother game just to ensure that the Big Brother Messiah?
I'm like a Messiah for the newbies.
Yes. Is that the first act of the Messiah to mist the entire house into putting one of their allies up on the block, and then he will come back and go on a winning streak to win this game?
Yes. And then proclaiming that you are, it's just what Messiah said. Well, I guess isn't that the job of the Messiah to say that they're the Messiah? So maybe Jose is a Messiah and maybe we're the stupid ones here. But back to your initial question, why Pauly would agree to do it. I mean, people watching this are probably like, yeah, like, why would you do that? And even me, as someone who has done that on Big Brother before, is asking, why would you do that? It's tough when you're in there. It's week one. You don't want to make waves. You don't want to piss anybody off. I get where Pauly's coming from. That's the game he wants to play. Pauly wants to play a very social game. He wants to be well-liked. He wants to be somebody that people look at and they say, oh, Pauly, I love Pauly. He's a great guy. He'll do whatever I ask him to do. He's loyal. He's the loyalist person player in this game. That's what Pauly wants people to think. So he's, you know, when he's got, you know, all these vets coming up to him to be like, hey, you know what? You want to get in with the cool kids. You got to do this first. And Paul is like, oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I'll do it. And that,
everybody
that's
cool is putting themselves up on the block.
I know, right? It's the coolest thing ever. So I think that's kind of where he's coming from. It's definitely a major mistake. But when you're in there and you don't have, you don't have your other sibling that looks exactly the same as you and that has a matching six pack to talk you out of it, it might not be as easy of a decision. It's also easy to get in there and think, oh yeah, we got this. Yeah, we're the vets. We're awesome. We're the best. So I think it's a little bit of arrogance, I think, as well, which it's bad. It's very bad for Pauly early on. And for his sake, I hope he gets out of this. But as a fan, I really hope to see him get blindsided.
Yeah,
because that would be amazing television.
It would be such a great first eviction for that to happen, just to see the vets really just get this right back in the face, because we've never seen it before where the newbies have gotten the upper hand, save for the Zapatera tribe voting out Russell Hance and throwing a challenge to vote out Russell Hance.
Hardly the upper hand, too.
Right. We've never seen the newbies be able to stand up for themselves against the returning players. And everything was going the returning players' way. You had Nicole misting Corey, Taryn. How about that? Where she's like, I'm going to go in the diary room, or I'm going to go in the storage room. And I'm going to tell Corey, I'm going to get him to do exactly what I want. Now, misting Corey may not be necessarily the thing that you put at the top of your resume of impressive accomplishments, but she did it.
Yeah, this is something she clearly has taken from Derek, right? Like, she was on a season with Derek. She watched his diary rooms after the fact. She saw what he did in the house. She knows one of Derek's biggest strengths was getting somebody to think that your idea was their idea. And so she's very explicitly trying to lay this out, and it actually works. I don't think it's going to work with a lot of people, but it certainly worked with Corey, to the extent that he was repeating her own phrase in the diary room as a reason why he didn't want to be HOH. So very effective. I'm not sure that she needed the HOH, but it's not a terrible move, and I love the way that she went about it. I have high hopes for her moving forward, save for this move of nominating Pauly.
You had then Victor coming to Nicole and basically laying the entire plan out of, hey, here's what's going on. And my friend Jose, by the way, he's a, you know, somebody that can get put up on the block this week. Here's what he's doing. You're his number one target. He's my best friend, though. God love him. What a guy. But if he is somebody that he's coming for you. You're probably done.
Yeah, this is just very confusing. This is something that we definitely needed feeds for, because it makes zero sense. Like, it makes a little bit of sense that, okay, he's safe from being nominated, so maybe he just feels like, whatever, it doesn't matter. But it's just like, why is he having this conversation? What is his goal? Why is he taking his shirt off?
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, giving her the googly eyes and then being like, yeah, I'm after you.
It looked like Nicole was going to be mesmerized for a second. I was like, is that where this is going? Where Nicole is going to be misted by Victor here, taking his top off? But no, it didn't seem like that's where it went. I don't know what.
maybe that explains it. Maybe he just thought, you know, it doesn't even matter what I say. If I take my shirt off, then she's not even going to be listening.
Yeah,
she's gonna be,
I feel like he might have read that in Cosmo and didn't exactly realize that maybe there's something different going on. And then
wait. Victor can read?
Oh, come on, Jordan.
I think Victor is going to take all his plays from Cosmo throughout the season. That's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. And then we had out on the hammock, you had Jose, with Mama Day, who had a much better second night, I will say, for Davon. Much very improved second night for Davon.
People have been saying that, but it's a little bit easier to have a good night when you're compared to people like
right.
Jose and Victor, and even Nicole to some extent, nominating Pauly yeah. like that.
And then you had the Messiah conversation where he's telling Davon, for I don't even know for what reason, that he tells her,
I'm like a Messiah for the newbies.
What does that even mean, that he's their leader?
This is like Brian Hart, like Zane from Survivor, like on steroids. Like this has to be like one of the worst.
No, but the difference is, though, Taryn, that Brian Hart was actually good. Well, not really.
Oh, no.
He had Brian had potential to be good. Jose is just delusional. This guy, this guy is well on his way to being the least self-aware house guest of all time. And that's saying something, because we have had a lot of house guests that have lacked self-awareness over the years. But I don't understand where that is coming from. And also, too, like, why does Jose just hate the new, like, he hates them. Like, he wants to, like, murder all of them. Like, did you see, like, he was crying during the, when Nicole, like, was safe, he was crying during that competition. Like, what? Like, what is wrong with this guy? Like, he's just so all over the place.
Yeah.
Great casting by Robin, but I just don't know what's going on in his brain.
But so he tells Davon the whole plan. And I guess he's coming to her. And again, they're on the same team. So maybe he's looking at her as their coach, as a confidant. But, you know, Davon, she's technically on a team with these guys, but she's on a team with the returning players. And she says, OK, we're going for Nicole first. Who's the head of household? And then that's our first target. Then James. Then they say, Frank, we'll let him stay around for a while. And you'll be good. Because really, if you were going to rank the order that you got to get these four people out, Frank's the one you leave around for a while, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
He's, for sure. He's the one they haven't seen, Rob, because they haven't seen it. His season was too far in the past.
Actually, Jordan, Is Jose here to fulfill the Big Brother prophecy of the unself-aware prince who was promised? Is that the Messiah who is here?
Yes. We've been waiting, you know, ever since Devin Shepherd left BB16.
The putz who was promised? Right.
Yes. There have been legends.
Yes.
You know, stories and tales that have been told that one day somebody like him would return. And I think today is that day, Rob.
It's that day. But no, so basically the newbies are just falling over themselves, committing all of these mistakes, and it's all going the vet's way. And then here is the Nicole's chance to, okay, I'm going to nominate Jose, slam dunk, easiest decision that's ever been made in the Big Brother house. And all she has to do is come up with one more nominee. And I don't understand why, Taryn, why is she so afraid that Jose is going to win the veto? If Jose wins the veto, so what? Aren't there like eight other people that she could potentially go after here in this spot? It's not quite many. It's not quite that many.
It's almost that many. We can't really answer that question without the feeds, right? It has to be something to do with her relationship with those other people. I mean, we do have half the cast safe from eviction, so there's that. But it's she must feel as though there are some people who are not strictly anti-vet and there are some people that are strictly anti-vet. And she must feel like he is the ringleader. Jose needs to be the person that they take out. Maybe she sees Victor as a second ringleader, but she can't nominate him. Clearly, Paul has just kind of slid under the radar and not been outed as being the super anti-vet person that he is, because otherwise I see zero reason to not nominate him along with Jose.
Here's something interesting, which Eric Stein
yes.
tweets, the newest hit sensation on Twitter, that he weighed in on this. And this is one of the beauty of having Eric Stein on Twitter. He writes and says, my theory is they felt compelled to split nominations among both teams. If you put two up from the same team, you're inadvertently hurting that vet. So we have only a couple people that are able to be nominated. Okay, so all of James's team is safe. And then
yes.
you have the people from Nicole's team. So it needs to be potentially, you got to find somebody from Frank's team that you could nominate. And on Frank's team, you have Pauly. And then you have Bridget and you have Michelle. Nicole may not want to put Michelle up in that spot. She doesn't want to, I guess you could put up Bridget, which I guess is really, that would be the parallel to the Big Brother Canada 4 spot, I guess, to put up somebody who we don't know anything about here as the pawn in this for this week. But it just is so mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just looking for a pawn, Bridget's the perfect pawn, okay? No one's going to get rid of her. She's useless. She can't win competitions. At least it doesn't seem like that so far. She's bland. Seems like she's very nice and likable and agreeable. So why, if you're the newbies, would you ever vote her out? So, yeah, I don't understand. The other options, I guess, if we're looking at would be, well, yeah, I mean, if you don't want to put anyone, a second person up from Davon's team, then yeah, that just completely wipes it out. So I think the problem is that category four, yeah, they're on that team. Like you said, there's nobody really else.
Okay. I'm sure we will talk more about this as we move along. Let's give Glenn a proper eulogy to this game. Whereas that Jody universally was celebrated as the Jody got screwed, that I feel like that the chorus of Glenn got screwed has been noticeably more quiet in terms of the social media outrage of the screw job for Glenn. I really wish it would have gone his way in the photo finish. Taryn, can we give a proper eulogy for Glenn?
Well, I don't think we need to worry about his. I think the cult following will slowly build.
Yes.
And justice for Glenn will be a thing. And you know what? I'm going to make a call here. Worse than Jody.
Worse than Jody.
Yeah. It may not have been like night one, but he didn't even get like booted by anyone in particular. It was just a comp that was clearly not suited for him. And so, I mean, this has got to be the worst eviction from Big Brother.
Jordan, was there not a moral victory in Glenn that he went tip top toes with Corey down to a photo finish? I mean, can't he wear that as a badge of honor?
Right. I mean, that's pretty sweet. Like I had a tweet ready, like that was going to completely shred Corey because I was going to say, how does Corey lose to a dog? You know, Texas A&M baseball player loses to a dog groomer in a competition. Like, come on, Clay, you got to get some better friends.
Very close.
Yeah, it's very close. But no, you know, yeah, for sure. I think it's a moral win for Glenn. And you know what? It's not over for Glenn. Somebody's coming back into this game.
Hey, look, Glenn has to look no further than Davon to say, hey, if she can make it back, so can I. The long journey back to Big Brother starts tonight for Glenn.
He will rise, Rob. Glenn will rise, and he will seize the day. He could come back, you know, next season. He's finished in 16th place, same as Davon. Or, you know, I think it's fairly clear we're getting a buyback for the pre-jury. We haven't had that in quite a while. So you never know. Maybe Glenn will win that competition. Maybe it'll be suited. It'll be a dog grooming competition that he can win.
Yeah, it would be interesting if we have, say, the first four or five people compete in some sort of challenge to get back into the house and then have Glenn come emerge as the winner of that challenge. I mean, he really is going out of the game with no blood on his hands whatsoever. He would come in with almost like a clean slate in the game. It could be a good spot for Glenn if he does end up coming in back into the house, Taryn.
It could have been the best thing to have happened to his game.
Yeah. But, yeah. This is like go to Redemption Island for 4 or 5 weeks. Could come back into the game. Guns blazing like Cindy with an S.
Yeah. But Glenn will come with a purpose and he'll actually, you know, he'll have a strategy for what he's going to do. He's not just going to go in and say, you know what? I just want to get evicted this next week. So crash and burn. No, Glenn will win this. I'm calling it now, Rob. If Glenn comes back into this game, he's the winner of BB18.
Probably. Let me just say, in fairness to Glenn, I thought he would come. I did predict in our preview show he would be the first person out of the house. Didn't see it going down like this. I thought he would be a total disaster train wreck. He was not. He was not that bad. I think he probably had that upside had he stayed in the house, but he did not give us anything that we can point to and say that Glenn is a very bad player. That we didn't get to see that window into his game. Who knows what the future holds? But for Glenn, you know, sad to see you go.
I think that if Glenn had stayed and Corey had left and Glenn had become HOH.
Oh, it'd be beautiful.
Yeah, this would be a beautiful week.
would be a thing of beauty, but potentially the opportunity for the vets to get egg on their face. Like, you feel like that the Glenn thing would have just blown up in his face, but I feel like that for the course of the season, for the greater good, I think that for the greater good, Glenn had to go for this spot, because then you get this situation where, okay, who's going to be the HOH? And Nicole said that she wants it to be her. Were you guys surprised that Tiffany didn't make a bigger play, Jordan?
No, I mean, I think Tiffany's been a little shaken up by everything. I think it's clear that emotionality, all right, just having being true to your emotions really runs in the Russo family.
Yeah,
ending up in that situation where she was almost getting home, that scared her. Having the whispers about her being Vanessa's sister, I think that has already scared her. So I think Tiffany kind of wants to chill for a little bit. So I wasn't too surprised that she did not want to get that first HOH. I don't think Vanessa really wanted to get that first HOH last year either. So I imagine that's some advice she probably gave her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tiffany said that she didn't want any, as she wanted as little HOH competitions as possible, especially in the beginning of the game. The problem was that she was going to have a hard time not winning competitions. So this is actually a great spot for her where she gets to win a competition, so to speak, and then choose to not be HOH. So it was exactly what I expected.
I want to talk a little bit about Frank, because I think that he's actually done a very good job. Not a lot of airtime so far for Frank, but I'm curious to know that, Jordan, do you feel like that Frank has an inherent advantage in this season in that he played back in Big Brother 14 with these coaches and was able to sort of get both sides of this, where he was once a newbie, he knows what it was like and what sort of advice he was looking to get from the coaches, and now he has his own team, which he can sort of huddle up, that I think that you could probably say a lot of things about, not everybody always loves what Mike Boogie did in Big Brother 14, but I do feel like that he was very well liked, especially by Frank as a coach. And I wonder if he can bring some of that to the table here with his team.
Yeah, Frank's in a really unique spot. I mean, he's got, I think, an inherent advantage over everyone for what you just said, but not just because he learned from some of the best that ever played the game, but it's also because Frank can relate to these guys. He's been in their shoes before, whereas Nicole, Davon, and James have not. They played on all newbie seasons. So I think that's going to go a really long way. I think Frank's age as well is going to help him. He's older than all of the other newbies as far as I know. Oh, James, I guess, is up there. But I mean, James is, kind of goofy. I think Frank, this time, he's here for business. I'm sure he's had some conversations with Mike Boogie. I've loved what I've seen from Frank so far. He's cut the hair. He's ready to play. And I'm loving it. I can't wait to. And the fact that we haven't seen tons of Frank so far, I think, is a really good sign, because in 14, every episode, it was just Frank all the time. He's either HOH or he's nominated and he's about to go home. So I think Frank's going to go very far.
Now, Taryn, in the preseason, and I shared this opinion that you weren't as high on Frank. You were higher on Nicole coming into the season. What have you seen from Frank, and has he improved his perception that you had coming into the season?
I don't know if he's improved my perception of him too much. I watched the interview he did with Jeff, and he talked about, I'm not going to be working out hard in the house. I'm not going to be winning competitions as much. I'm going to be, much more laid back. And that did impress me. And we've kind of been seeing that. So he has gone up a little bit, but this is kind of what I expected, because he does kind of come down in a plushy little spot here. And I do think that he's doing better than I expected. And if he continues with this, I think that he's definitely someone to look out for. However, his biggest competition is going to be these fans who do remember him from Big Brother 14, because I don't think these recruits even saw his season. So they're going to remember the Frank of old. And this underreported might be the first week ever that Frank is going to be not HOH and not nominated.
Yeah, I think that Frank is doing a really good job. And I don't think for a second that he didn't huddle up with Mike Boogie before they went into the house, and Boogie laid out, here's what you do, this is what we want to be as a coach. I think that, that maybe in the game, the execution isn't always there, but Mike Boogie really is, he really knows the game. And I think that he is like Boston Robin that way, where he can really just talk about the game in a way that is like almost professorial to be able to talk about the game. And I think that Frank, if he was a good student, and I'm getting the sense that he was, I think he set up really, really well. Like, I don't know if Nicole huddled up with Derek before she went back for BB16. I don't know if Paulie huddled up with Derek before he went into BB16, but I feel like that extra mentorship from Boogie, I think, is going to pay dividends for Frank Jordan.
Yeah, for sure. And no offense to Derek, but I mean, Boogie's played this game 3 times. So, I mean, there's a lot more knowledge, I think, there just from the experience that he has over someone else like that. So that's what I'm just saying. There's a difference between being a great player and being able to teach that to someone else. I think Boogie is more, you know, he's in that stage of his life where he can do that. I don't know, you know, and also he's got a closer relationship.
He was a very good coach, though, to be honest.
Well, you know what?
He wasn't a good coach to everybody, but I feel like he was a good coach to Frank. Like, Frank
was about to be evicted.
Yeah, but I think that, well, at least that the relationship, like, he really loved Frank.
He was a good buddy to Frank.
Yeah. All right, let's like.
I love Mike Boogie. Don't talk.
No, I mean, Boogie's great. I think he's a great player. I think that Derek could probably give better advice, and I don't think that Boogie is.
But I don't think
coach.
Derek did give Nicole advice going into the house.
I don't think he did.
And I'm not sure if he gave Paulie advice going into the house. I think Cody gave Paulie advice going into the house.
Also, what advice is Derek gonna give? Okay, just say that you're an undercover cop and do all, like, no, like, they can't do that stuff.
Right.
Boogie can be like, yeah, just partner up with one of the best players of all time, and you'll do great.
All right, we're getting sidetracked. All right, so here we are now. It's Thursday night, and so we're going to see a competition on Sunday night that we don't know really what it's going to entail or what it's going to potentially change up. So we have our nominees, Paulie and Jose. Taryn, when you and I are live on Sunday night, we'll be talking about a competition. What do you think this competition is going to entail?
It has to have something to do with the teams, I imagine.
We're going to have another team that's safe potentially.
I don't know. It might be something like a team gets a veto, or it's, I don't know. It's, there's so many different things that it could be. I couldn't even tell you.
Right. Jordan, do you have any thoughts on what this possibly could be and how this could shape things up based on these nominations?
I have zero idea, Rob. I mean, I feel like safety would make sense just based on what we saw the first night, but then it's kind of overkill because we've already got one team safe. There are a lot of players left in the game right now, though, so I don't know. I think if they're going to go with this teams thing, I think the immunity would kind of make the most sense without messing with the HOH power too much here.
You know, Jared in the chat room brings this up, and I was thinking about this myself last night. You know, we've seen the addition of the extra vote twist on Survivor over these last 3 seasons. Do you think that Big Brother could toy with the idea of giving a player an extra vote here in a competition? Is that a possibility, Taryn?
I do think it's a possibility. Something that I'm remembering is that I believe Allison Grodner said something along the lines of, the third competition, or maybe it might have been Julie's, this new competition is going to give a player or players a power to change the game. So it will be some sort of power, I imagine. And also, I think I've read that the audience is also going to be involved in some way. So there might be something
boy.
There.
Uh-oh. That's a red flag.
Yeah, it might not have anything to do with the competition, but... Yeah.
So that would be interesting, because if you ended up with this extra vote game, potentially it would be only the people who get to vote who might get to play. And maybe from that, only that we are going to pick like 6 names like the veto. And so it might be an opportunity to get safety in terms of the fact that you can't be re-nominated. Or you can't be the renom at the veto ceremony if you have this as well. So I like this idea. It's probably not what it's going to be. Probably be something that we come on Sunday night and say WTF, but we will certainly be with bated breath waiting to see it. And we might even find out when the live feeds turn on tonight, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see where we'll be at. I mean, Taryn would know this better. Like last year, Taryn, where the veto had not been used at this point, had it on 17?
It had been one. The Vita had been won, but it hadn't been used yet. We opened on Jason Austin planning on backdooring Jeff.
Shelltown, yeah. So, I mean, if that's the case, if that's what it was last year, then I think, yeah, I mean, if we're going chronologically, the Sunday episode is that competition. We will probably find out in some form who has won it and what exactly it does. Might take some time to put together the pieces, though, because we've never seen this competition before.
And I do want to say, I think this new competition, this twist, further highlights the mistake that it was to nominate Polly, because if it is an extra vote or nullify votes or something that messes with the votes and the votes are this close, then we could see Polly going home because of something like this. You know, you're taking huge risks knowing that there are a lot of twists this season. There's teams, all sorts of stuff that could go wrong. You got to just do the safer option.
Yeah, play it safe. I think they got too cute. I feel like that the paranoia is not something. Like, I feel like that Nicole has all of the skill sets necessary, but I do feel like there is a little bit of the that she's overly worried that she's going to go home, and I feel like that she seems like she's making bad moves out of fear, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, just Nicole, I think, just kind of got off on the wrong foot. I mean, she's the first one out of the stowaway things yesterday. I don't know really how well she was received. Then she almost goes home. So I think, yeah, she's panicking. That's a situation. She's backed into a corner. She's scared. She's just made a bad, bad decision. So I love Nicole. So I hope that this works out for her sake. I hope it works out. But again, we love good TV, Rob. And
we do. Darren, I'm also getting from Nicole, I'm getting like a little bit of like a Sierra Easton vibe now, where she says in the show tonight, she's like, you know, last time that the game played me and this time I got to make big moves. I got to go ahead and really play the game hard this time around. And I wonder, did Nicole try to make too big of a move here? Is that what it is?
Maybe. You know, I was actually about to make an Andrea Belke comparison, because I feel like it's almost like that, where Andrea came back, she was a much harder gamer, but she was
it up a step, because Andrea similarly played with Boston Rob, and really Boston Rob like could sniff out anything that was going on. And then you have that same sort of situation with Nicole and Derek back in Big Brother 16. So I'm sorry, make this Andrea comparison.
Right. So, you know, she plays with somebody who's that good, who's just completely, you know, wrecks her game. And she is kind of one of the bigger oppositions to Boston Rob, just like Nicole was to Derek. And then she comes back. She's much better at the game. She's much more aggressive. However, she is kind of playing scared, just like Andrea did to some extent. You know, when Andrea finds out about the idol, she's, I'm going home. We have that whole scene. I feel like it's a similar situation with Nicole. It almost feels like she's still playing as though Battle of the Block is still here. Like, she's got to put up these pawns. You know, it's
throw the competition with Jose.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, she's definitely playing with some fear in her.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Does that make Hayden Voss the Matt Elrod of Survivor?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Interesting. All right. Let's get into some of these questions. Of course, hashtag RHAP, and also on our YouTube channel, robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. All right. So let's jump in tonight. And Andrew Hallman starts us off. Why did James cheer for Nicole during the elimination competition? Has he never watched the show before?
I don't think he has.
Yes.
We said it off the top. James is the most loyalist player ever, so he's got to cheer for his homegirl.
He was pretending to be Victor in the crowd.
Yes,
so
is that what he was doing? So let's talk about James. We got to see his first prank of the season. And so we see James, go ahead. It's classic James prank. The old walk in on a woman while she's showering. Classic James.
That's exactly what I expect from James.
Yep. He did get her pretty good. But was the joke worth the invasion of privacy, Taryn?
No, and it didn't even seem like a joke to me. Like, it just kind of fizzled out. Like, there was no punchline. It was just like, yeah, I'm actually James. I'm not Victor.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, James.
Would have been nice to get a Nicole diary room about that, where get her reaction and whether she said, like, oh, that was so funny when James walked in on me showering, or if she had a diary room take was like, you know, that really didn't sit well with me when James walked in and started talking to me when I was showering.
This was also the moment, at least for me, where they advertised After Dark, anything can happen on the feeds.
Yeah, anything can happen. Anything can happen on that. Okay, all right, let's keep going with another one. This is from Ram 010992. Anyone shocked they didn't reveal, do the HOH room reveal, especially for the first HOH? Yeah, who wants to see my HOH room? Jordan, is this a sign Big Brother is moving away from that this season?
I hope so. I think that would be so great if they did. They did. I mean, it's smart if they do that. I mean, you kill so much time, and they only have so much of the episode really to work with in that, you know, 42-minute block or whatever it is. So, yeah, get rid of it, please. Nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, I just think that they feel like that is a steady, like they get a lot of mileage out of that.
Yeah, and I think it's probably just because of the competition in the beginning of the episode. They didn't have time.
Yeah. Okay. I think it'll come back. Gabriel RC says, is there any chance of Glenn coming back? Even if they brought someone else back in, what are his chances? Do we think that the Glenn 2.0 has a chance to improve, Jordan?
Well, I already said he's winning the season if he comes back.
Taryn, what do you think?
No.
He
will rise. He'll rise. He's just like Batman.
The Glenn will rise. I mean, the real hope for Glenn would have been if he would have gotten on one of those teams that had immunity for the first 2 weeks, and he could have come in and relaxed. But I feel like that if he comes back into the game, say 3 or 4 weeks from now, everybody else will have played 25, 26 days. They're going to be at sort of like, mid-season form. He's coming in. It's basically day one for him, day two for him. He's going to try to like make something happen. I don't think he'll be able to sort of like, he needed to get in, get a cushy landing spot and sort of blend into the background and be sort of somebody who everybody just liked having around and somebody who wasn't too involved in the strategic dynamics of the game. And I don't think he's going to be able to do that, especially if he comes back in. I mean, I guess he has Chicken George upside if he can come back in later on and sort of just be like, hey, oh, it's Glenn. We haven't seen him in forever.
When are we going to get around to getting rid of him? Maybe later.
Yeah, maybe later. But I think he's going to be he has too much of that he has to be a part of the wheeling and dealing, where Chicken George was just like, ah, whatever.
Chicken George, wheeling and dealing, Chicken George. I don't think those things go together.
All right. Kristen Book says, as awful as I think this plan is, isn't it possible that Category 4 votes to keep Pauly since he's on their team? How about that idea of if we put the people on Category 4 going ahead and voting for Pauly, does that change anything up? And that would be what Michelle and Bridget are the other two people. Now, Michelle, you got to think, is somebody who's really well versed in the lore of Big Brother 13. You would feel like that she has to be one of the key cogs of La Resistance, Jordan.
Yeah, you'd think so. I mean, and if Michelle as we're saying, we're predicting, she knows a lot about Big Brother 13, she'd realize, okay, I kind of got to play the middle here. I don't want to stand out, as being someone who's gunning for the vets. And I also don't want to show my loyalty to the newbies, kind of want to play that Shelley Moore role. So it'll be interesting to see what she does. I could see, to answer the initial question, I could see Category 4 keeping Pauly, just because, you know, you talked about earlier, you know, that the team, the coaches or the captains of these teams probably won't have as much influence as the coaches did on Big Brother, partially because they're not coaches and partially because they don't have the name value that those coaches had. But I think Frank will have the most influence out of all of those people. And I think that, you know, Michelle, the first night she said she's a big fan of Frank. I feel like she would go to what he says. And Bridget, I feel like she's kind of just along for the ride. So,
but doesn't Michelle, as a super fan, I mean, don't the super fans in the house have to know how this all plays out, where people like a super nice guy, Adam Pock, we'll have him on some point during the season, but you know what? I'm going to get like, at least 5 or 6 tweets that day. Like, oh, you have to have Adam Pock on. And so, these people who sold out the other newbies the first time around, don't the super fans know that it's not going to be appreciated by the viewers, Taryn?
Well, if Michelle is a smart super fan, she also knows that there's no benefit to being a ringleader of the resistance, right? Like, these people like Paul and Jose, who were like all up in arms, like, yes, we have to get out the returning players. We have to form an alliance. all before the first HOH had even been crowned. This is why they're in hot water right now. You don't need to do that. The lines are obvious. There's 12 of you and there's four of them. You wait until the HOH competition happens, then you start to work. So I think that she is somebody who's going to play whatever side is in power, whatever side's going to get her the most benefit in the moment. If I'm her, I'm thinking, I want to bond with the siblings. I want to get with them. If they're also with the returning players, that's fine because I'm going to have them. The returning players are going to be the main target. We're going to be this little splinter group that's just kind of hanging off of them.
Yeah. The movement needs a leader or it will not happen. I heard the same thing about a different situation going on in our country on Meet the Press this past week as well. Okay. Simply Sonia said, do you think with all the twists, the newbies are not even thinking about buybacks? Don't they think it's strange that the first eviction didn't go out the front door? I mean, they were in the backyard. I don't think that that's particularly weird. Do you feel like that the newbies are thinking buyback already, Jordan?
No, definitely not. I mean, we saw that clearly who out of these newbies, who's really has an understanding of Big Brother, right? I mean, we've got Michelle, we've got the siblings, I guess Bronte, but she also thought that 9 times 9 was 89. So maybe not. I personally don't think they're already thinking about that. Maybe the super fans are, but not, you know, your Victors, your Jose's, your Bridget's of the world. Hell no.
Okay. Let's go back to Tiger Rar. Do you guys remember Nicole's HOH Battle of the Block she shared with Derek on her season? Nicole is in Battle of the Block mode. Yeah, I know that's Taryn said it. I think Alex said it in the chat room as well. Nicole is living in a Battle of the Block world.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, Nicole?
What are you going to do?
Yeah, stop. No Battle of the Block. Edward Morris says, what was Nicole's biggest snake move on BB16? Taryn, can you speak to this?
Nicole's biggest snake move? she didn't really make any snake moves. That was the problem. I guess she was really hoping to get rid of Frankie the week that they end up accidentally sending Jocasta home. So that was her attempted snake move, but Derek kind of cut her off at the knees.
Yeah, no, that would have been good.
That's why it just blew my mind when Jose was like, yeah, Nicole is she's a snake on her season. She's a snake now. It's like, what show were you watching, man?
Yeah, Jose. Classic Messiah. Okay. Travis writes it and says, is James's new thing this season to creep people out while they're in the shower? Is that his new thing?
No, definitely not a new thing. That was very apparent at the beginning of the last season as well.
Yeah. Okay. And look, James loves the ladies. He's human. All right, Jordan.
Yeah. And he's single like as a Pringle.
He's single as a Pringle.
Yeah,
he's been doing really well on Tinder, according to his Jeff interview. So
really,
is that actually what he said?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He also said that his relationship status is complicated.
Complicated. Oh. Wow, look at James.
By weird shower interactions.
wait. Can you still use Tinder if you're over 35?
He's not over 35, is he?
I think he is. Isn't James like way older than he looks? I'm pretty sure he is.
I thought he was like
32.
Okay, still.
You're alienating still. our Generation okay. X listeners. Sorry. That's half of our core demo, Jordan.
Yeah. Sorry. Apologies.
Yes. Okay. All right. This is from Donna who says, how has only Devon realized that Tiffany is Vanessa's sister? I mean, do you guys think that when the feeds come on, everybody is in the know that Tiffany is the sister of Vanessa?
100%. They all have to know. Hundo. Yeah.
Yes.
How do they not know? They would. I think it was one of those things where they just didn't have time in the edit to show, hey, everybody all realizes that she's the sister. Oh, it was also that whole sequence was maybe 48 hours. Maybe.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. Taryn, you agree?
130%.
Yeah, 150,000%.
155,000%. Okay, Jeff Patterson says, will noobs go behind Paul to take charge, or will more and more move to the vets if he continues to polarize himself? My fear, and I outlined this last night, and my worst case scenario was happening, where I said, there's going to be one person on the newbies, they're going to tell the vets, and that person's going to be the target, and we certainly saw that happening Corey tells Nicole, and then all of the newbies just started telling Nicole, like the people that were coming for the newbies started telling the plan. So it really was a total disaster. But do we think that Paul, who really was much more in the background tonight, do you think he has the wherewithal to put this movement together, Taryn?
It's hard to say without, because based on what we've seen on the show, I would say no, right? Like he seems very, very over the top, very obnoxious. Nobody would ever want to work with him, but he didn't get nominated and he didn't even come up as an option.
Yeah.
So I don't even really know what to think of Paul right now.
Yeah. I feel like that my instinct is that I think he's probably doing a good job. If they're not even talking about him as somebody who was one of the nominees, like that they didn't even throw him out there as a decoy in edit. That's how I knew it was going to be Paulie, because they never talked about anybody else that was going to go up on the block other than, I mean, if they even hinted it would be somebody else, I was like, okay, well, they're not going to be stupid enough to put Paulie up on the block. But they never even mentioned another name. They shot out like maybe Zakiya, and then they said, no, it can't be her. We can't put her up on the block. And so they never really strongly considered anybody else.
Yeah, it was one of those situations where, you know, Paulie was trying to throw out any name he could, and they were like, yeah, we're actually thinking about you. So,
yeah, that's right. Take one for the team. All right. Jeff Coaster, do you guys think that Sunday's challenge will be for the power to choose a replacement nominee at the veto ceremony? I can't think of what else the unprecedented power would be. Well, what a blow to the HOH if the new power was that you get to name the replacement nominee at the veto ceremony.
Yeah, that's no good. The whole point of Big Brother is that somebody who's in the minority is able to win HOH and take out somebody from the majority. You introduce that power, the majority can take back the power and just completely go through a whole season.
Yeah. It'll be weird because we want it to be impactful where it's not like, okay, this doesn't matter, but we don't want it to have too much power that it's going to radically change the game. I think that extra vote would be fun. I think that would probably satisfy those two requirements, but I just really don't feel like that's what it's going to be. Anthony wants to say, is it just me or does Glenn look like Eric Stein in his 50s? Wow. Is Glenn time traveling Eric Stein? Is that possible where Eric Stein, now 9 years removed from Big Brother 8, spends his entire life going to either A, get back on Big Brother, and B, build a time machine. So is it a point where Eric Stein, at the point where he's at Glenn's age, ends up finding the time machine and is able to go back in time, use his knowledge of casting and dog grooming to get him onto the show, only to be in the situation where he can't win the first competition?
I am completely on board with that, because that would be exactly Eric Stein's luck.
Yes. Although I feel like that old Eric Stein, I think it would probably be better in the DR. No, Jordan?
Old Eric Stein would be great in the DR. I would love to, because old Eric Stein would just, I feel like he just wouldn't care anymore. So it would just be, he'd let it all out. It would be awesome. So yeah, bring it. I love this theory. Who was that? Shout out to you, whoever came up with that.
Yeah, Scott, let us know. We have to give credit to that. Also, is Glenn on Twitter?
Glenn on Twitter? I don't think so.
That does speak to that the old Eric Stein has had like a disaster. It's like, I'm swearing off Twitter. I'm not going to have a Twitter when I come back to 2016. Yeah.
The Twitter thing was just so bad that he went into a dark spiral and he came out as,
you know,
as
Glenn did outline his strategy of, I'm going to get in the house. I'll have a showmance if I need to. I'll flirt in the house. I'll get in a relationship. So very interesting, that theory. I'm buying it. I'm in. Haiku Fishback says, why did Tiffany say that she was a middle school teacher last night? And then it shows her in the DR saying she's a high school teacher. Boy, that's a real nitpick there, Haiku Fishback. What did you think of what we got to see the introductions there? And what did you think of, I mean, I'm no fan of corporal punishment here. So what did you think of Vanessa, or I'm sorry, Tiffany in the intro, like almost like the teacher with like the ruler, like looking like she's ready to smack the hands of one of the kids?
Yeah.
Am I imagining that?
I'll be honest. I was intoxicated watching it last night with a bunch of Big Brother Canada alumni. So I kind of missed that part.
Well, no, I'm talking about in the yes. full intro tonight that we got to see.
Oh,
was it
in
time.
That?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I fast forwarded through that too. So.
No, it was excellent. It was excellent.
Very. She had like a ruler or something, and she was just kind of like it against her hand, like
ready to go.
Get ready.
I'm gonna be hitting kids with the ruler pretty soon.
Don't vote me out or I'll beat this kid.
Yeah, I'll beat one of the kids. So yeah, the intro is fun. There's some gold in that intro. We need to watch it again. Okay.
It was, I think, better than last year, mainly because they didn't have a Jeff who just kind of just like stands there and does nothing.
Yeah. No, the Big Brother Reddit had the gif of Jeff like putting his hands in his pocket.
Yeah, it was like never forget.
Yeah, never forget. All right, Tom Powerson, despite the CBS edit, don't you guys think it's safe to assume at least two or three of the other newbies have flipped? Jordan, so let's put some real numbers on this. Okay, how safe do we think that Paulie probably is?
Okay, I mean, in terms of like a 100% chance, in terms of scale of 0 to 100,
is he 100% safe? Do you think he's 80% safe?
I will say that Paulie, I mean, as much as we were ragging on Nicole and Paulie and this whole situation, I'll say Paulie is 70% safe.
70% safe.
But okay. that's still 30%, that you didn't need to have there. It could have been, he was 100%. It should be 100.
Taryn, are you higher or lower than the Jordan's 80% safe?
That's about 70% safe.
Sorry.
But yeah, that's about where I am.
I got ahead of myself.
mainly because I do think they probably do have a lot of votes locked up.
Yeah.
However, we got this new competition. We got a new twist. And you never know what can happen with these votes. So I think that lowers it down to about 70%. And it didn't need to be there.
Yeah, I probably feel a little more safe. I think it's probably 80%. But yeah, as Jordan said, that this was so unnecessary. This was such an easy gimme week. And now you've opened the door for total disaster to have happen here in the early going.
That'd be the end of their games, pretty much. Like,
it would signal. I mean, now again, Frank will win HOH next week, so it's not going to be the end of their game. But it is going to give all the momentum to the newbies coming into the next HOH competition. And then if that doesn't happen, if Frank or James or Davon doesn't win the HOH, because Nicole can't play next week. So if they don't win the HOH this next week, I mean, you know that Tiffany, she's like going to be like the little finger. She's just going to go to whatever side has the power. And so if the newbies go ahead, she'll just try to like Paulie, you know, I think he would go down with the ship with these veterans no matter what. But I think that Tiffany, she'll switch sides. She doesn't care. And so it'll be very interesting to see how it plays out if we get Paulie going home 1 week from tonight. All right, let's do a couple more questions. Amit K says, who is most likely to fly under the radar all season? Would that be our floater, Jordan?
I guess that would be our floater. I mean, it depends. Under the radar, I mean, I think there are two different definitions of floater. There is the Rachel Riley definition of floater, which would be, you know, Sheriff Kathy from BB12. Yes, exactly.
Coasters.
Whereas a floater that we're thinking of as under the radar, somebody like, you know,
right.
Andy
I think
Harry,
we're talking about our coaster
song.
Here.
Talking about our coaster. I will say the coaster is Bridget.
I agree. Taryn.
Yeah, that's what it looks like so far. Okay. But we will have a much better idea in a couple hours.
Okay. All right. Taryn, how excited are you for the live feeds to come on tonight?
I'm ecstatic.
Yes. It doesn't
sound.
They're a little late for me. I'm a little exhausted.
Yes, Taryn, how late will you be able to stay up to watch live feeds tonight?
Oh, I mean, I'll be up until I have a good grasp of what's going on in the house.
Okay. All right. Let's do two more questions. Emery says, if Jose or Paulie wins the veto, who will Nicole put up as a replacement nominee? Do we have any insight into this, Jordan?
I feel like we don't really have any, just because from the episode we saw the only other person who directly went at Nicole was Victor. He's safe. So I think
all the more reason why this was such a bad idea to put Paulie up on the block here. Because now, let's say that everybody in the house, like, oh, we all hate Jose, that he's the worst. He's not the Messiah. We want him gone so badly. Now, so Jose, let's say hypothetically he does win the veto and he takes himself off the block. Now you have Paulie still sitting there as this very tempting target to go after. And now you have somebody who the house doesn't dislike as much as Jose. And now it's almost, you know, 50-50 that Paulie is going to go out of the house, where at least if you wanted to say, okay, Paulie, let's just keep you in the back pocket, where hypothetically, if, you know, for whatever reason that we need this pawn, that we know you're not going to go home when we get closer to the vote. But it's such a long week, where really the resistance has a chance because of that. What do they have, like 9-10 days, Taryn, to get this plan together?
Yeah, the first week of Big Brother is, I believe, probably the most flippy week historically. Like the vote will flip in the first week more often than any other week in the house.
Okay. All right. One more question. This is from Jaris Layad, who says, for the past three seasons, the first veto was the one where they have to spell the longest word. What are the odds that Paulie can win that? Yeah, oh, great point. Great point. We saw Steve last summer come out on top, where he was on the block, right, in that first week, and then he won the veto with spelling the longest word. What do we think of the chances that Paulie is going to be able to spell the longest word, Jordan?
Well, you know what? I'm actually going to pour some cold water on that theory. I don't think we're going to get that competition first this time around. And here's why. We have a little bit of a different influence this season on the production side. Trevor Boris, the guy who does the, who's responsible for the competitions in Canada for Big Brother Canada, is actually consulting with the Big Brother US production staff. So because of that, I think that's why we saw those unique SOS competitions for that first, you know, for the first two nights. So I don't think we're going to get that competition. If we do, or a different spin on it, I do not like Paulie's odds, although I do like Paulie's odds compared to Jose.
Yeah. Now, Jose is going to win that one. He's super strong in the brain.
But Taryn, isn't that competition a Big Brother staple that's given us Technotronics, given us Kaltura, trombonists?
Yeah, I think we're going to see that competition. It might not be the first week, but I think we're definitely going to see it at some point.
Yeah. All right. So we will see how it goes. All right. Let's just talk through your top four power rankings. I feel like last night I want to change this all up based on what we got to see here tonight. If you guys are putting together fantasy teams on pickpete.com, which you don't need to get your team locked in until next week, so you can sort of ride this one out and be like Tiffany and just decide what you want to do as you get closer to the eviction, you could do so at pickpete.com. Or Jordan, yeah, who's your top four?
Well, I kind of want to just go and do what I did the other night on the Happy Hour and just do my top four.
By the way, didn't you
worst?
Draft Glenn in the fantasy draft the other night?
I did. Yeah. So, yes, I lost Glenn. So
Team Trainwreck has taken its first hit.
Yes, Team Trainwreck has taken its first hit.
The anchor of your team, yeah.
Yeah, the anchor of my team, Glenn, is done. I still got Natalie, though. I'm stoked about how Natalie is not actually that bad. So, you know, I'll give you my four worst instead. I'll say, this is going to be hard. In fourth, I will go with, no, I'll start from the top. It's easier that way. Jose first, just because Jose was just completely all over the place and awful, and he's a messiah, so he needs to be number one on my team. Number two, we will say Victor. Victor also comes across as a complete moron in this episode. I have no idea what he's doing. In third, I'll say Paul, just because I feel like he's going to crash and burn. He's got train wreck written all over him. Not as much as Becky from last season, but, you know, the next closest. And then in fourth, I mean, it's kind of hard. There was nobody who really stood out. But you know what? I think she looked really good tonight because everybody else looked so bad. But it's only a matter of time before she blows up. Give me Mama Day, fourth place on Team Trainwreck. We know she's going to blow up. It's a matter. Right. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Taryn, can you give us some power rankings of best to worst? So start with best, Taryn.
Yeah, and I will say this almost definitely will change in about an hour. Yeah. But so far,
that's why it's fun.
Yeah. So far, I think probably I still think I have Nicole at the top. I think this week could backfire. And if it does, she's in a lot of hot water. But despite that, she's still showing a lot of aptitude for playing the game, you know, trying to put ideas in other people's heads, acting like she didn't want the HOH. I think if this week doesn't backfire, she's in a great spot. Then I've got Frank, who, as we talked about, as long as he keeps his cool, I think he's in a great spot as well. I would have had Pauly up here, but I think the fact that he has so many connections in this cast and wasn't able to prevent himself from being a pawn doesn't spell good things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a very difficult position to be in. I don't think we've ever seen anybody really handle it particularly well. Once somebody wants you to be a pawn, it's hard to get off of that radar. However, the fact that they wanted him to be a pawn is not saying good things. So I would put Tiffany here still. I think I like the fact that she didn't tell everyone that she was Vanessa's sister. I like the fact that she's
really,
using this
Vanessa
information.
Because Vanessa didn't like that she did that.
Who am I to argue with Vanessa? but I like that she, because this is what Vanessa did, right? Vanessa used information to form relationships with people. And that's what we're seeing Tiffany do. She formed a relationship with Michelle. She formed a relationship with Day. By revealing this information, I'm confiding in you this secret. Now we share this bond. So I'm liking that. And then finally, I think maybe Michelle, you know, I'm not super high on her as a player so far, but based on what we've seen, she's somebody that's thinking about the game in a way that we're not really seeing from most of the other players.
Okay. So if you want to go ahead and have the opportunity for the ultimate bragging rights this summer to call the top four, check out pickpete.com for Big Brother Fantasy. All right. So here's where we go from here. All right. So we are what now? 90 minutes away from the feeds coming on as we sit here live on Thursday night. So be on the lookout for that. Again, robisawebsite.com/live feeds if you want to get your access to the Big Brother feeds. Of course, we are going to be back on Friday and we are going to have a show for you talking about everything that we've discovered overnight. Alex and Taryn will be joining me on Friday to do all of that. And then quick turnaround again, Sunday night, Taryn Armstrong and I will be live to recap the Sunday night episode and break down this new competition. We don't know what it's going to be. Plus, we'll also update the live feeds from over the weekend as we get a better idea. Taryn, are you excited for this?
Very excited. I'm very excited, despite the fact that they're on very late, and that's not super exciting.
Yes, you said
definitely,
that.
Definitely excited.
You
to
have one job.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Definitely excited to get into the feeds and finally figure out what's going on in the house, what the dynamics are, and who the actual players are.
Taryn, let me put you on the spot. What are the chances that we get an alliance chart on Sunday night?
I could put one together.
Okay. Sure. All right. Good stuff. Very excited about that. And then, we are off to the races on Big Brother. Of course, one just programming note, Sunday night is also the Game of Thrones finale. So just, to give you the schedule here on RHAP and post show recaps of how we're handling all of that. So we are going to be live with our Big Brother coverage. Taryn's not going to like this. 10:30 PM Eastern time. Are you going to be able to handle that?
No, it's fine. This was a rough day for me, and this, so I'm just very tired. That's why. Okay. I'm.
All right. Maybe we can even go 10:15. Game of Thrones is a supersized episode, so we're gonna have that coming up around 10:15, 10:30 Eastern time. If you want to join us live on Sunday night, then Taryn and I will record, and then sometime around midnight, 12:30 a.m. Eastern time, Josh Wiggler and I will jump into our Game of Thrones live recap on postshowrecaps.com. So a busy night coming up on Sunday night here on the RHAP network of podcasting. So, Jordan, what do you have coming up on Reality TV Happy Hour?
Monday, we are going to be doing a live feed recap about everything that's going on in the feeds week one. So we'll talk about this new power that's happening on Sunday night. We'll talk about the dynamics in the house, stuff that you didn't get a chance to talk about with Taryn on the episode recap on Sunday. And if anything else breaks on Monday, we'll be talking about that. So every week, we're talking about all live feeds all the time on the Reality TV Happy Hour, Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Taryn, Brent, Alex, and myself. Don't miss out. It's going to be really fun. I can't wait to get this going. I'm so excited. BB18's back. This is awesome.
That'll be the show that Brent yells at me for everything that I said on the Sunday show.
Yes.
Hey. There's no bullying among the live feed correspondents. Remember that. Okay. So then that show is going to be live if you want to check that out. So a lot to do. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any of it. Go to robiswebsite.com/iTunes. You can even subscribe to our Big Brother only podcast feed if you're so inclined. robiswebsite.com/BB podcast. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Rob Sister Nino. Jordan is at Jordan Parhar, and Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn. I have to always remember that it's backwards. I don't tweet some random person.
Yeah, you keep tweeting that guy.
Yeah.
But you know what? that guy sucks. He took my name.
Yeah.
He doesn't use it.
Screw that guy. All right. Very, very fun. I feel like we're off to the races so far. I had two fun podcasts these two nights. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, pulling your questions for the live show. And then look for us on Friday, where we will have the answers to our questions for Glenn, plus a recap of everything that we discover on the live feeds overnight. Have a great night. Oh, what's the hashtag, Jordan?
Time traveling Eric Stein.
Yes, that is the hashtag. Yeah. All right. So very excited to be here with you guys again Sunday night live. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend.